Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
What does motion sound like? With Kizikans free shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Survival Jobs, a podcast in collaboration with Broadway Worlds. My name is Samantha Dawn Tutslow, and this is my spectacular co-host, Jason A. Coombs. Jason, why was I just singing. My inflections were so weird on the intro.
Because it's your birthday, duh.
Thank you. I was like, Broadway World.
Yeah, you're inspired by all the singers we've had recently, and it's your birthday, so you're feeling celebratory. Happy birthday, Samantha Dawn Tutslow.
Thank you, Jason A. Coombs.
Yeah, how you feeling?
Feeling good. You know, it's 32. Hello. This is the age my mother was when she gave birth to me. I'm not giving birth. Although I had a dream I was pregnant last night, and I'm not 100%. No way. TMI to the listeners, but what does that mean?
Dreams don't always, well, they say that dreams don't always happen to you, but maybe someone in your life that may be pregnant. You might be premonizing. Is that a word, premonizing?
It is today.
You might be having a premonition for somebody else.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Mm. Yeah, but I woke up early. I'm not really an early riser, but today I woke up early and I went to yoga at 7:30. So I'm feeling good. I'm working. I'm here. You know, it's all good. Hey, good. Did you ever read that book, Ruby the Copycat, when you were a kid?
No.
This was one of my favorite childhood books. It's called Ruby the Copycat.
I don't know her. Put the Mariah Carey gif in. You don't
that
know
was
that
funny. Gif. No, I do. I do. Okay. I think you've sent it to me.
Oh, good.
Maybe not. Maybe I'm a liar. But anyway, it's one of my favorite childhood books, and my vibe right now, there's a scene where she wears a turtleneck and like a chain necklace, and I keep looking at myself in the camera, and I'm like, I look like Ruby the Copycat on my 32nd birthday, my favorite childhood book.
You got black nails.
For spooky season.
If you guys can see, whoever's watching the video can see, it is spooky season. That's such a cool, like, trying to have a birthday.
My birthday's
in the midst of winter when no one wants to do anything but sleep and hibernate.
Yeah. Yeah, but if your birthday wasn't in the winter, then we wouldn't be soulmate friends, Aquarius and Libra, so it's perfect.
I know. So funny.
I know, we talked about that Libra in our episode. Wow. I don't think I have either. So.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Never been a bad Aquarius either.
I have. I've dated a few. Okay, not bad, but I don't want to talk shit, but not bad, but not like my favorite.
<That's>
You
funny.
Know?
What's your temperature check? Yeah.
Oh, my temperature check. See, I was just about to do that to you, but okay, I'll go first. Thanks. My temperature check is I'm good. I'm feeling good. I'm feeling excited for my next year of life. We'll talk about this a lot in our episode today, but like, I'm trying to get my balance. I'm just trying to like level out, right? I'm just trying to breathe and get my body feeling good again and just my mind feeling good. And I'm excited for what the future holds. You know, I feel like birthdays are cool because it's always this like new, it's like the new year too, where you're like, okay, it's a fresh start. Like, this is my new chapter. This is my next chapter. It just feels refreshing and good. I feel good. I'm excited to eat some good food tonight. I feel good.
Yes. And you're going to be at B?
Okay. Thank you. So I want to give a big, big, big shout out. Look at this baby hair on my 32nd. Gosh. Sorry, you guys. I have so much ADD. You probably hate listening to me. Tonight I'm gonna go celebrate my birthday at Bia. I never, you know Bia, what? I don't know. I have no idea. It could be called B. It could be called Bia. For the past 10 years or however long I've been going there, I've called it Bia. It's spelled B-E-A. So I just want to give a big shout out to them. The vibe is so cool in there. They like play old movies on the walls. They project movies in black and white on the walls. The cocktails are great. It's just a good scene. And you know, we always talk about Glass House. I love Glass House. I always go to Glass House, but we're sharing the love tonight. So yeah, I'm excited.
Where is Bia slash B?
Okay. I think it's 43rd, not 42nd. It's 43rd between 10th and 11th.
Nice.
So check it out, you guys. They have amazing food. Like I said, the cocktails are incredible.
Yeah.
Check it out.
I love that. I'm so sorry I can't make it.
It's okay. I love
it's a bummer. It's a bummer living in a different state for now.
You know what? I love you. What's your temperature check? How are you feeling? What's going on?
I feel like it's always the same. I'm feeling overwhelmed, but I'm also feeling very distracted because, like, you were having an issue with the freaking ring light in your glasses. I'm having that the past couple episodes and I can't figure out how to do it anyway. I'm just very distracted. I'm looking at myself trying to, like,
it's tough. And that's why I don't wear my glasses anymore, because I haven't figured it out. So hello, if anyone knows the trick, which there has to be a trick. People do self-tasting glasses all of the time. But by the way, you always say, did you Google it? Yeah, exactly. I have not really Googled it. I'm sure there's a ring light glasses hack.
There has to be a hack. But anyway, yeah, I'm feeling just a bit, I'm just like overwhelmed. I feel like we recorded Freddie yesterday before this, and I just felt so motivated after. And I felt like so honored that we got to speak to her. And after, I was like, oh my gosh, I got to do this thing. But then I'm still just kind of like in a survival job right now, which is great because, as Freddie talks about, like, having a job in the arts is great. It's a great survival job to have, you know? So I'm very fortunate for that. Me and Samantha, before we started this podcast, we were like, we're never going back to a restaurant ever again. We're going to, like, just try to make our living, you know, try to survive with jobs that bring us purpose and fulfillment. So I'm doing that with this docuseries, but it's just going on a little bit longer than it was supposed to. So I'm just feeling a little like I can't catch up on personal things, you know? So
yeah,
leaves me feeling a little chaotic, and I feel like a little chaos in my brain sometimes, but, you know, it's all good. I'm very fortunate at the end of the day. I don't want to speak for you, but we're fortunate, you know, we're doing this really cool thing, and, you know, we're meeting awesome people, and we're just in a good place with this. And I'm happy to be sharing this with you. I'm happy you're my partner in crime. I'm happy it's your birthday. I'm not happy I won't be there to celebrate with you, but I'm happy to know you.
I'm happy
to call you a friend.
Back at you. We always talk about how lucky we are, but we are. So lucky to have found each other. Shout out to WestCon. I would like to piggyback off of something you said about, like, hard to catch up on my personal stuff. Mm-hmm. Being an adult is hard, and that's good. I just need to say I'm still watching Grey's Anatomy to everyone who's been following.
She's gonna be
along.
Watching Grey's Anatomy until the 555th episode.
I think I need a huge break. I think I need a huge break because something major happened yesterday. In the point I am in the series, and I'm not going to say it because it's, like, so major that if somebody is watching from the beginning, they'll be in shock.
Yeah.
But after that, I need a break. But the reason I brought up Grey's Anatomy is because
if I lie Meredith... here.
Yeah. Okay. We're not talking about the musical episode again. Okay. Because that was traumatizing. But Meredith Grey's mom said something on a flashback yesterday in this episode I was watching where she comes out of, like, she says something to Meredith, like, oh, you're all grown up. And Meredith's like, yes, I'm an adult. And she's like, that sucks. She essentially, I don't know the exact wording, but she was like, that sucks. It's really hard to be an adult. Like, you should have stayed a kid. She said something like that. And so when you just said, like, it's hard to catch up on my personal stuff, I'm like, yeah, because it's fucking hard to adults.
It is. I'm like, how did our parents, like, work and take care of kids and do all this and clean the house and blah blah blah.
I seriously woke up with an anxiety attack from my dream of being pregnant. I was like, I woke up thinking I was pregnant. I was like, oh my god, like, first of all, where did this baby come from? Like,
immaculate conception. Okay, Samantha, second of all,
thank you. Second of all, I can't raise this baby in this this apartment. Like, I woke up in a panic.
Yeah, Uncle Ben next door.
Oh my God. That took me out, Uncle Ben.
Shout out to Ben.
Who never listens. So he is the only person who has, besides Dawn, of course, shout out to Dawn, I feel like who gets the most shout outs, and Ben has listened to a half of an episode. But you know what? We love him for who he is.
Yeah. Speaking of going back to spooky season, I've been going to the movies a lot.
Okay. And
I saw this really good movie. It's not a spooky movie. I don't know why I said that. I was going to talk about this other movie, but I didn't see it recently, called X. It's really good. But I saw The Woman King, actually. I want to talk about that one. Have you heard of it? Viola, our girl?
Yes, we've talked about this a bunch.
Incredible. Like, I finally got to see it. Finally got to see it, and it was just so powerful and exciting and action-packed and well-told and well-acted. And I was like, damn. I finally got to see it. And I'm so proud of her. And there's been a lot of controversy around the story of that tribe and, you know, how they were part of the transatlantic slave trading, you know, and how that has impacted people's experience of watching the movie. And there's a lot to go in with that whole thing. But I just think it's, for me, it was just so powerful to see a story, like a historical story, right? That's not just Black people like being slaves, you know? So to see like these badass women, and to see someone like Viola, who's like in her 50s, like in this lead action role, was like,
and her,
wow.
She looks amazing.
She looks amazing, and she literally killed it. I'm like, this movie has to get a lot of Oscar nominations, like the whole cast. There was no weak links.
I can't wait. No. Adrian Warren is in that, I believe. Shout out Tony winner Adrian Warren.
Yes.
I don't think I'm not telling the truth. I think I'm 90% sure she is.
Let's get her on.
Yes. Yes. Let's fucking get her on. Oh, yes. Thank you, Jason. That is on my list. I definitely
need to. And it was just good, like, movie. It was like a, like, going to the movie experience, you know, because sometimes you don't really need to go to the movies to see a movie, you know, it's like, oh, I can just watch this at home. But that was like being in the theater and like reacting and on the big screen.
With the action, I'm sure, is like iconic.
And it starts off like from the very beginning, it's like you're throwing into the action, you know, and it's like a real fun, exciting movie. I'm like, everyone needs to see this before it goes out of theaters. That's my recommendation.
Thanks for your rec, Jay.
Yeah.
I love that. But real quick, before we talk about our guest today, I would like to say one more thing about my birthday.
I'm sorry, did I cut you off?
No way. I'm just all over the place, as per usual.
It's your birthday.
So I've been telling everyone, this is how stupid I am, I've been telling everyone that it's my Mariska year, because when Mariska was 32 is when she booked SVU.
Oh, wow.
So I just wanted to say that for our listeners who have heard me talk about Mariska and Grey's Anatomy a million times. I think I talk about Mariska in this episode with Freddie. I'm 90% I do.
We do. And we talk about Viola.
We do.
Every episode.
Perfect. Every episode. But I am entering my Mariska year.
Oh, I love that for you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
And anyway. Freddie will be booked and busy.
Oh, yes.
We talked about. So should we go into her?
Yes. Amazing. So today, Jason, you want to kick it off, since you really are the one who got us Freddie?
I mean, I tried, but no, I mean, I mean, we'll talk about it in the episode, but this is someone who's like an icon, you know, and it's something I always talk about a lot too. So I won't talk about it again here in the episode, but like, she was just so instrumental in my love of theater as a high school student, you know, her and you know, Rent, of course. So it was just so cool to be able to talk to her and tell her that, and to listen, right? And listen and get those words of advice. And she has this wonderful, you know, workshop she's teaching, and she was so kind to give our listeners a discount code for it.
Yes.
We're going to put that in the show notes for you all, for all, you know, actors of any range, like business, right? You were saying in the episode, like, this is just the ultimate to wrap our jobs episode, because
this is all
show business, you know? And so there are things that she was saying that I wish I knew when I graduated from WestCon, you know, in 2011. But, you know, so my whole thing is I'm kind of going on a tangent, but like these are words of advice and tips that I wish people told me. And I'm glad that she shared it with us on this episode. And we're so consistent. Long story short.
And big shout out to BroadwayCon because
Sort
of were like, oh my God, after hearing her speak, right? You're like, oh my God.
Yeah, she was so amazing at BroadwayCon. And, you know, I didn't get to speak to her at BroadwayCon, like personally, but, you know, we exchanged some looks and some glances and we had to hit her up. But she's so lovely. She's so lovely and she's so
you guys are going to love it.
Yeah, it's probably one of my favorites, definitely. So we do her bio. I feel like I'm rambling. I'm sorry. Okay.
I love you.
Freddie Walker Brown is best known for creating the role of Joanne Jefferson in the Pulitzer Prize winning musical Rent. She's the creator and host of the Professional Skills for Actors workshops. Most recently, she appeared as Ghost in HBO's Search Party, Beverly in Rebecca Miller's Maggie's Plan, and Shay in Showtime's Emmy Award winning series The Big C.
Latest directing projects include The Color Purple and Bob Stewart's Let the Chips Fall Where They May. She is proud to be a teaching artist and the voice of the Wicked campaign. Songs from her new album, One People, One Planet, are now streaming everywhere.
Yeah, she sang that. I didn't get to tell her this, but she sang it at BroadwayCon, and I had to like get on my Spotify right away because it's so good, so powerful. And she talks about, like, you know, how just she gets back how important this earth is and how we're taking it for granted. That's what that song is about. It's so beautiful and so passionate. Y'all know me. I always want these tangents.
We love it. I was very connected
to that.
We need the tangent. Yes. All right, everyone. Enjoy the episode.
Enjoy. Can I say one more thing?
Nope.
I'm putting some links in for the victims of Hurricane Ian and how we can donate to that as well. Because
yes. Hello.
It's happening. Another episode. Happening. Yes. Yeah. So enjoy the episode.
Thank you, Jason.
Yeah, of course.
Thank you.
Happy birthday, boo.
Thank you, baby.
Hi, Freddie. Welcome to Survival Jobs, a podcast.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I love the whole idea of it, actually.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, we are huge fans, of course, and we are so honored to share space with you today. And we've been looking forward to this for so long. I remember seeing you at BroadwayCon back in July, and I was like, we have to get Freddie. We have to get to Samantha. So it's such an honor. So thank you.
Thank you. Yeah. Yeah, pleasure to be here.
We're so like Jason said, we're just so happy. Obviously, like, we've been huge fans for our whole life, not our whole life, but like, you know, we inhale theater for so long, and you are such a part of that. So we're so happy. Like you said, you know, you love this idea. Thank you. Jason and I sort of built this idea from the frustration of our own survival jobs while like trying to build a life in the arts, but then how do you combine them together? And so we've just really enjoyed talking to artists about their survival jobs and how they maintain it with their arts. So that brings us right into our first question. Do you have a survival job that you've had along your path that has positively impacted where you are now as an artist?
Well, I'm a teaching artist.
Correct.
So, that is, I mean, you know, they say those who can't do teach, but it really is better when those who do teach.
Facts.
And those of us who do almost find it our duty. She said duty. I'm sorry. I love something like humor. But it is. It's your onus. You have to pay that forward. We were talking before we started rolling that we are craftspeople and tradespeople. And tradespeople pass on their trades vis-a-vis apprenticeship. And so, you know, that's what you must do. You must teach then you really start to grow as an artist in ways I can't even explain. And so all of that led to the whole pro skills thing. And that is dead on to what we're talking about, because you guys have done the very thing that I talk about in the life section about your income.
Yeah.
The whole concept of survival job that actors have to understand, and anybody in the arts really, the audition is your actual day job. Looking for work is your job. So everything else, including your income jobs, have to be scheduled around allowing you to be in the look for work scene, which is 10 to 6, 9, you know, Monday through Friday. It's a business thing. And so you have to find very creative ways to figure out that income that's going to allow you the flexibility to be on the hunt all the time, right? And the main and most important way to do that is to keep your income in the business. To keep it in, how many jobs, you guys have already figured it out, but how many gigs out there, people, are there?
Yeah.
That make this business run, and which ones could you do? Because then that way you are plugged in.
Yeah, and you have to be plugged in.
Yeah, because then you're survival. Then you don't have the, I mean, I call them the paper hat jobs, and there's nothing wrong with an honest paper hat job. Not a thing.
For sure.
When you need it.
Really, yeah. When you need it, but you really want to like step above that, and you definitely want to get into the kind of income gig that is going to allow you that flexibility. Because if you don't audition, you're out. Don't work. Sit.
That's right. If you don't audition, you're out. It's as simple as that. But that concept sometimes, I feel like actors are like, well, I'm not booking and I'm giving up. And I'm like, but are you trying? And
it's, are you auditioning?
Sometimes you forget something so simple, like go to an audition.
No, seriously, you must not just to an audition.
To 29 a week.
Dude, in the workshop, if you can get them. I mean, any actor who can get 29 workshops a week is, I mean, auditions a week is doing very, very well. And yeah. But I ask this question all the time. What is the average booking ratio for any actor?
Right.
Yeah.
It's not that low. It's kind of a lot.
Yes, the opposite. Yeah, sorry. Yeah.
And so in order, if that is the case, then you have to keep your auditions up on a number to which you can, you know, bring up your chances of booking, because it's really just that simple. You don't know what everybody thinks. It's like this number. Everyone don't want to think of it as like a numbers game. It's not about my talent. It's like, no, it's not, sweetie. It's not about your talent, because everybody's talented. Or I have wasted my money on a casting director.
Mm-hmm.
Those casting director workshops, right?
No, seriously, we're not American Idol. We don't have time or interest in watching untalented people to mock them, right? That is not what we're here for. We are interested in just getting a cast, and the rehearsals are costing money. That pianist is costing money. Everything is costing
rehearsal
money.
Rehearsal room costs money.
Do you follow what I mean? And it's not about that. So we hire the casting director to bring us the best of the best, which means that when you go to an audition, you must already assume that everybody there is talented. And after that, it's like, am I what the director is seeing in their mind? Because that's really it.
Yeah.
See, that's it. And you have no way of knowing that except to just show up. That's it. That's the most important thing you must do. Show up. And then after that, you know, go to the next one.
What it is, that's like have to battle, right? It's like showing up.
Yeah, that's it. That's really it. And getting your life set up so that you can show up. That's what kills a lot of actors, is they don't know how to organize their lives so that they can show up for auditions, which must be the number one priority.
It's about the balance, right? I was just having this conversation last night with a friend of mine, talking about balance. And by the way, because my birthday is tomorrow, didn't you just have a birthday as well?
I did, just yesterday.
Happy birthday,
Happy
Libra.
Birthday, fellow Libra.
Thank you.
Yes.
And I was like trying to set these goals for myself of balance and trying to have time to really put focus into this podcast and to my acting and to my survival job and the line of that. And he's like, you know, it's not, I think as humans, we're never going to reach that ultimate balance, right? We're always going to want something more. We're always going to want things to feel easier and smoother. So it's just about like finding it within yourself to be like, okay, it's okay. Like I can,
It's a process. Yeah. It's a constant process. Totally. There's no perfection, only improvement. So you know, every day as you step towards an improved, better version of it, then you're like, okay, great. I did some, there's some more, but I did some, you know, and that's really, and then you can stop tripping, because like, I call it the stacking. When you do the stacking is when you get nothing done. Cause here you go, right? You're like, well, here's my goal, right? But I need this, and I need that, and this, and I don't have this, and I got this, blah, 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 your head explodes and nothing. So if you can stop the stacking, the goal is still wherever it is, and it can be as lofty a goal as you like. I really, you know, I was talking to Gwen Stewart yesterday, and she called me for my birthday. She sang happy birthday to me. Which is like, you know, people with golden voices singing happy birthday to you is kind of awesome.
And treasure. That's like a treasure.
Yeah.
And we were talking about it, you know, like life goals and all this kind of thing. Cause you know, here we are embarking on our homestead thing and all that. And that's, you know, kind of daunting, whatever.
Yeah.
But, and we were talking about it and how doing things against the odds or against, you know, the flow or whatever it is. And I was like, David, we both made it to Broadway. You have to really think about what that means. There are several people who can say that, but even amongst those several people, that is a tiny, tiny, tiny percentage of the entire populace.
Very tiny.
But you follow me, and I'm like,
yes,
you know, and to have actually made our living and our careers as actors, right? Mm-hmm. I have children, I'm getting ready for my first grandkid now, and all that kind of cool stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Congrats.
And I've done it as an actor the entire time because I knew that was what it was going to be. To have done that is quite an accomplishment in my book. And
That's a huge accomplishment.
It is. And I stand here as a testimony to the fact that you can have both. So you can have a family and you can have goals and you can have these things, but you definitely have to put your head on straight when you do it. The slogan of the thing, of the Pro Skills thing, is it's called Show Biz, not show art.
Hello.
That's a fact. Yeah, that's a fact.
It's not about your art. It's really not. It can be sometimes, but it's not really. It's about that money.
Well, yes. I mean, I've said this multiple times on the podcast recently, but even Viola Davis was talking about getting the Woman King made, and she was like, she's someone who's Viola Davis, right? And she was talking about how she... go ahead.
No, go ahead. No, I love her. She's a dear friend. I love her.
Oh yeah, yeah. How she was saying how like she produced that movie, it was so many hoops she had to go through because all the business to it, right?
Honey, and that's someone who's because,
yeah.
And the only reason it got made, I want you to be very careful. Here's the question I ask all the time. All right, let's put y'all on the spot. But this is for all y'all out there. I want everybody to, seriously, y'all are getting a lot for free here. You should really be paying attention to this. Yes. Who are the only actors that do not have to audition?
I guess it's like those Viola Davises, right? Those very
who did
top,
what?
Top.
Who? No. It's not because she's at the top. Why did that movie get made?
Because she put in the work.
Because she put in the what?
Mm-hmm. Work what? For
this
years. Money,
no, this business is about what? Business is
money.
About what? She put in the what?
Work. Yeah. And I feel
money,
like
the money.
I'm like, wait. The I feel money. Like I'm being.
Yeah.
And the money.
This is what I'm trying to get it, people. Show business. It is a $600 billion a year business. It is money, money, money. She put up that money. And that's why that movie got made. And that is the only reason that movie got made is because she put up that money.
Yeah.
And the only reason she starred in it is because she put up that money. If you don't want to audition, then you must produce the work. If you're not the one signing the check, then you are auditioning. I don't care what level you're on. And she'll be the first one to tell you that. And that is why she put up the money to make that movie. And only because it's working and actually making money back is she ever going to get a chance to do it again after all this she has accomplished. Right? She had to put up all that money, make that movie herself, and then have it succeed for everybody to go, oh, yeah, huh, yeah, she, yeah, we'll put money in the...
Facts.
And if you want to have some of that money, then you got to start like putting these facts in your head and be like, all right, business, let me get to work.
How am I going to make that money?
How am I going to get my, where's my check?
Right. You got to do the things you know you're going to make money from to then do the passion projects, because your passion projects are not going to
you build your passion
money.
Projects.
Hello.
You are an artist in your own right. You were born an artist. That was given to you. It cannot be taken from you. The business has nothing to do with that. If you can be happy making money doing something else, then do that and be an artist. But if you're going to be in this business, children, put your head on. Let's go. Let's make some serious. Let's get some of that money. Because
I hope they're taking notes.
I hope so. I told you I made y'all a code for your audience. So
yes,
because we are actually, this is my birthday month.
And yes,
to your audience, I will give you a code, survival20, so that you can take the next three sessions. You missed auditions or your day job, which was yesterday. But the next session is the Showbiz Machine, And the session after that is planning your life. And then the last session is the artistic spirit.
And that's every Monday, right?
It's every Monday in the quarter. I think I put an end date on that code, but we'll see about the next quarter will be in winter 23. So we'll see what happens, right?
Yeah. We'll pass that all on the Instagram and the show notes and stuff. So that's awesome. Thank you.
But that's the beauty of it. I do it every quarter and you can catch whichever week whenever you want.
Oh, yeah.
If that's the information that you really, right? If auditions are your day job is the information you really need, you can take that part. If Showbiz Machine is, you know, that's the whole agents and unions and all that, you can take that part. Planning your life, if you're in that part where you really want to think about that part, which honestly, it's so funny. Planning your life and the artistic spirit to me are actually the most important parts of the workshop. But of course, everybody wants the auditions and the Showbiz Machine part because, you know, that's where everybody's at. So I get that. And that's why I do them, put them at the beginning. But the truth of the matter is planning your life, that one in particular, if I had known, because this workshop is my life. It's the 30 years of the experience that I've had in this business and I've distilled it down to this thing. And if I had known what I knew, what I'm telling y'all, if I had known those things then, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so the workshop is every Monday and it's like a 2-hour virtually?
It's 2-hour virtually every quarter. So it's every Monday this month. The next 3 Mondays, actually.
That's amazing.
Not the 31st, because that's Halloween. And then the next quarter will be in January. But it's all up on the site. So you can go.
I know. I was looking. I think it's so important for actors to know that, especially because we have a lot of people who are just fresh out of college or going to be graduating this year, you know. And and like you were saying, like you wish you knew this. I wish I knew more of this as well, you know.
You could have paid off those student loans a lot quicker.
Yikes.
I went through all of this and I'm like, there's got to be a way to help the next generation to not have to make certain mistakes. And you know, and it really is this business is really, you know, how far out of college are you? Are you out of college or how far are you from like
your last we graduated in 2011.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're good. Together, yeah. Okay. So now, and good. You went to college together. That's
been a while.
And that's one of the interesting things. It's funny because some people think I'm anti-college. I'm not. I'm just like college has its place and it has its pros and cons like anything. Mm-hmm. And one of the pros is sometimes you hook up with cool people that go with you for life, right?
This is what I'm saying. I say it a lot on the show. I say the only thing I took away from college, I got Jason.
That's sometimes like worth its weight in gold. You know what I mean? An authentic, awesome human being who you know and trust and love. That's like everything, right? So and that you can create with. What?
Yeah, so amazing. Awesome. I know.
Go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say, so we've talked a lot about, you know, how your performing has now influenced, you know, your job, your teaching artist job, but that obviously came from your love of performing. Mm-hmm. So do you have like a moment from when you were a kid or that first moment where you're like, I have to perform, like there's nothing else. I'm good at this and I love it. Do you remember what that was?
I remember I'm good at this moment. That was high school.
Yeah.
And it was even more, it's funny because both moments that brought me to New York and to this business were connected with my need to be free to be myself. When I was younger and where I grew up, you know, I was always the weird one. I was the strange one. I was the one that was too much. I still hear that, right?
Yeah.
No, seriously. It's just, and it hurts too.
Same here. The theater kids, right?
No, whatever. That's why I spend my life on stage, because I get paid for the things people crap on me for in life.
Right.
And
preach.
Thank you very kindly. Yeah. So,
Obie Award.
But you know, Gold Records and whatnot. So, the first moment was very young at 8 when I first came to New York. My family traveled in the summer and I came to New York and I very clearly remember Times Square thinking to myself, this is where the weird people go. Awesome. No, seriously, I have a home. I have a home. Look at everybody. I can be me too, and nobody will care. They don't care. Everybody's being them, and that's awesome. And you know what I mean? In my little eight-year-old mind, it was very clear because, you know, children are very clear. They're not all clouded. And I was like, oh, yeah, this is where people who want to be just whatever they are can come here and be that. Yay, I'm coming here. So that I knew. And then later on, you know, in school and everything, because the awesome teacher, right? And then, you know, the glee life or whatever, the theater club and all that. And then that moment in the show, it was senior year. It was Babes in Arms.
Yes.
Aww. It was Lady is a Tramp. And up until then, I had been like a soprano in the concert choir and, you know, and all that kind of junk. And I had not found the belt or whatever. But something about that moment on stage, and all of a sudden this voice came out and everybody was shocked. I was actually having an out-of-body experience going, who the hell is that singing? And everybody was in the wings going, what? You know what I mean? Because the belt came out and it just came out and it was like, bam. And I was like, whoa. And that was like one of those, that was a moment where I was like, oh yeah, okay. I'm doing this. This is awesome. And
wow.
Right.
I love that.
This is awesome.
It just like came out of you.
It just came out. Just did. I'd never belted before. And it just came out and the audience was on the floor and we were all just like, ah, that was awesome.
Yeah. You know, this, I have a little comment to make on that and it will lead into Jason's next question. But my moment of like, oh my God, I have to perform was during Rent.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Just to tie it all in, it's a segue.
Yeah, cool. I mean, you know, I got to work with Donna McKechnie and Chorus Line was my Rent. And I got to tell her all the things that you guys tell me and, you know, round and round she goes. So, you know, I can't wait till you're in the position that I'm in. So somebody from the next generation comes and tells you, oh my God, you saved, when they come and tell me that you saved their life. I'm like, wow. Okay. That's why I wrote Rent Stories. That's why I wrote that play.
Yeah. I mean, it's literally true. I mean, I told the story on the podcast before, but if anyone who hasn't heard, like I was a freshman in high school, and I remember I was taking a musical theater class, and Miss Evans made us sit on the floor, like lay down, and she's like, I'm gonna play a musical theater for you. Now all I knew was like memories from Cats. Like I grew up in a very urban area, like, you know, like a lot of hip hop and, you know, R&B. Like I never knew what musical theater really was. And then she played Light My Candle. That was like my first introduction. And then Take Me or Leave Me was second. And I was like, this is musical theater? Like,
right.
And I was like, oh my gosh, I love this. I love this. And that's like, that's part of your legacy. And that must be, I mean, I can't tell you how to feel, but I mean,
there's no words to describe the feelings of the whole situation, especially Take Me, because Take Me, as most of you, I won't say should know, but could know, is the come to your senses of Rent. It was that song that wasn't written. It was the very last, to my knowledge, it might be the very last thing he wrote. It was certainly in like the last bunch, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It came very late in the process. And when it came, and every time I look at it or think about it, I'm just like, Jonathan, when? I did not know that man. I met him in December of 95 in rehearsal. I met him at the auditions, really. And to my understanding, it was he that wanted me for Joanne because everybody else thought I was too old, which was fine. Mm. But he saw something and he fought for that. And I'll never be more grateful.
How did you hear about the audition?
My wonderful agents, whom I love. I was directing at the time. I was literally on a ladder hanging blacks for chickens come home to roost when the auditions happened. And I was like, I'll grunge it up, but I got to go because I'm going to be and I run over there. And I'm
that
like,
is so good.
No, I'm serious. Like, I'm sorry, I'm all grungy. And I'm like, it's a grunge show. I was like, okay, cool.
Yeah, yeah.
It fits. It works.
Because I'm in. I'm right there with you. And so, yeah, I'm all black. You know, I'm just covered in dust. Way to audition. Told you, show up. See, this is what I tell you.
Show up. Wow.
Just show up. And so, you know, for him to have captured us as individuals in that song that way, therefore immortalizing us and at the same time setting me, talk about, I told you my entire search with this whole thing was a place where I could actually be who I am. He put me down in music Do you know what I'm saying? There's no, no cap to my freedom now. It's just, oh my God. And so, yeah, I can't. And then to have lost him so tragically and the constant bittersweetness of all of that. And so, yeah, it's the feelings are immense, unending, overwhelming, blah, 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 blah. All the adjectives.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if you didn't go to that audition because you were dirty and dusty?
Seriously.
I think it's so important just to like
show up.
Keep speaking about showing up to our listeners. Like, show up.
You have a gazillion to one chance of getting whatever job you go for, but you got zero chance if you don't go. So show up.
Wow. Episode title right there. Show up.
Boom. Boom.
So you were you said you were directing in during that time as well, right? So how did you transition from being an actor, vocalist to directing?
I don't know.
Was it something that something natural you had?
All artists are multifaceted, right? And
true.
Part of my, I just want work. I love this work. I do. I just want work. I'm a wardrober. I wardrobed backstage on Broadway. I ushered Broadway. I just want to work.
Yeah.
And so, and I told you, keep your income in the business, right? So I was just whatever. I'm like, whatever my skills, whatever I can be a part of the story, I want to help tell the story. I love telling the story. I love being a storyteller. I love telling the story. And whatever way I can help to tell the story is how I will help to tell the story. I understood a few professional shows in, I began to understand that I could direct. Right? When I got to the point where I would anticipate what the director wanted and I would be there and like, you know, sometimes you worry when you don't get any notes. And I was like, and that's when I learned, no, if you don't get any notes, you're doing it right. Because the director is going to be working on the squeaky wheel. And if you're not getting notes, then you're exactly where you should be, when you should be, doing what you should be doing. And so I was like, okay, I'm beginning to understand what is needed. Do you know what I mean? And then I really learned ushering. Ushering Broadway and watching Broadway shows every night, that's when I really learned the art, the craft, I should say, of directing. I saw, like, especially when understudies would go on, then you would see the director's choice versus the actor's choice, right? You could see the stuff that was mandated and then where the actor had the individual, you know what I mean? And just and then watching people maintain a long run, night after night, I learned so much. I ushered Metamorphosis with Baryshnikov.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, it's so Broadway.
Crazy. I would be in the house stuffing the programs for the night or doing the whatever, my pre-show, and he would be on stage warming up and he would talk to me. And I'm like, I'm talking to Baryshnikov. Right.
Sponge.
This is freaking awesome. And so, yeah. And it was amazing, his discipline and watching him, you know, this is the things I'm learning about how to maintain a performance and how to just watching him every night with his warm up and the discipline of it. And you know what I mean? And just invaluable experiences.
That's amazing. We had another guest, an actress as well, like in between gigs, ushers Broadway shows for the exact same reasons you're saying. She's like, why shouldn't I watch actors every night and watch their process? There's no better way to learn.
No, none. And you get paid to watch Broadway.
Yeah. The ultimate survival job, you know? The ultimate survival job.
It's also a union job. You have a pension and healthcare.
Yes.
Hello. If you work that's IATSE, people. That's one of the best unions in our business. I'm twice over proud. Thank you very much, wardrobe usher.
Yes.
Shout out.
Strong.
So you've done so much. You've been in national tours and Broadway, TV, film. Shout out to Law and Order, my favorite show ever.
Ever. I want to be the next DA on that show. I really do. Because I know they got to do a Letitia James character. I got my wig. I got my suit. I'm ready for y'all.
Let's go. If you're listening.
Are you listening?
Call Freddie. Let's go.
That's right.
And then I'll be the victim. But seriously, though, hello, call me.
Hello, I'm there. No, I'm right hello. There. Big. Let's get a job.
Let's go. Libras taking over Law and Order.
I love this Libra energy.
Yes.
Law and Order's on. Okay. I have to do that. That came from Jesse, and I made a vocal arrangement of it for him, and I got to get that done. It's just it's hilarious. And it's an acapella vocal arrangement of it. And it's like by how it's like on all the time.
Yeah, it is. It literally is.
It's wonderful. We love that. But I'm just hilarious. God, we love. I've been wanting to do that for years.
Perfect. And now it's inspired here on the show. So now it has to happen for Libra season. Do you have a preference? Do you have a preference of stage, screen? Or why do you enjoy one more than the other?
Right. Because there's no preference, really.
Right.
Stage is just a lot harder. It just is. I mean, eight shows a week, people, I really want you to really think about what eight shows a week is. That is 416 shows a year. There is no athlete in the world with a game season like that. And we don't make millions to retire on.
Yeah.
400 is to take your vacation. I mean, that's an insane, it's crazy. So yes, stage is just a lot harder on the body, on your time, and just on everything. So that is what makes stage difficult. And now at this point in my life, it has to really be worth it to do stage because it takes up just so much of your life, so much of your time.
Yeah.
Right. I'm a voiceover artist, which I love. There's my little portable booth right here and I'm going to build a bigger one soon. And
oh my God.
Yeah, I don't even have to leave the house for that. So that's awesome. I love the voiceover thing. And then, you know, TV is cool. TV, film, you know, long days, but then it's done. So the challenge of both, like TV, film, the great part is you have the best moment is captured forever.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
And it's just there. And it's just, and if it's great, it's just there. Okay. But in stage, you know, your challenge is to recreate it every night. And that is very much for an actor. That is like, I mean, that ongoing challenge of it is just awesome to keep it fresh and to keep it alive every single night. You know what I mean? For as long as you can. And or until your spirit, either your spirit or your body gives up. So they have, you know, they each have their pros and their cons as anything is. But once again, I just love the story. I love the work. So I really don't care. I don't care if it's stage. I don't care if it's film. I don't care if it's TV. I don't care if it's cartoon. I don't care if it's kids. I don't care what it is. If we're playing or telling the story, we can be on the rock and roll chorus, a group I love, an a cappella orchestra comprised of high school kids from New Jersey. And the guy who runs it is a genius. And one of the things that we always tell them, we're like, dudes, we are a rock show. We're a band. And we're going to play wherever the gig is. It might be on the back of an apple cart today. It might be in a state-of-the-art theater tomorrow. It is what it is. The show is the show. And that's it. So, I love it. I really do.
I love that. I got to work on set with Whoopi Goldberg one time. Ooh, cool. And it was like this little, like, it was really cool. It's really like small, college, like graduate school film. And she kind of said something very similar to what you said. Like because she was so kind and she's like had lunch with us and it was like a small crew of maybe like 12 people. And she was like, I just want to work.
And everybody's like, why are you doing this dinky little thing? And she's like, awesome.
I think people were asking in a much like nicer way. Like you're an EGOT.
I just went to Color Purple for Civic Theater in Allentown, which is a wonderful theater.
Yeah.
And the newspaper article, she says, so why are you doing regional theater after Broadway? And I'm like, are you kidding? Broadway is a teeny tiny percentage of all the theater in the world.
Yeah.
Regional theater is theater. Regional theater is where each and every one of us saw our first show. Regional theater is what brings theater to the masses, to the world. And so you would be honored to come back. I would imagine Whoopi would be honored to come back and do a student film and bring all that experience and all that to you. That's
she did, yeah.
You know, right, yeah. That paying it forward thing we were talking about.
I love that so much. I think that's so important. And how like to be like people like you and her to be someone who's like so revered in your craft and be like, I'm going to pay it forward. I have no sort of ego. Like what? I want to work. I want to create.
An actor should not have an ego.
And, yeah, and going back to just like, you need to figure out where you're making your money so that you can do your passion projects. Maybe that script was Whoopi's passion project. Who knows?
But you follow what I'm saying? She can afford.
She makes her check at the View.
Whatever she wants. And that's who knows, right. She might have financed that film. That's right. And this is my whole, that's the whole idea, is that you want to get to the, how would I love to be in a position to finance? I would love. I said this to about Oprah. I was like, Oprah, how come you don't finance at least 5 student films a year? Just pocket change.
Yeah.
Five or $2 million films. Just the Oprah film thing and boom. And just so somebody can go out there and do that. I wish I had it like that. Because you know what I mean? Yeah. I would do that. I really would. I'd be like, all right. And that's why, you know, I'm trying to build a little studio where people can come and do things.
I love that so much.
My farm, the barn, is going to look like a barn on the outside.
Yeah.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about it on camera, because you told us before we started recording, but Big Spoon, if you're okay with that.
Oh, sure. Big Spoon Studios is the future dream. And it should be a working farm that is also a film set. So the barn, like I said, looks like a barn on the outside, but it's a state-of-the-art soundstage on the inside, right? And the blacksmith shop and the cotton spinning thing, all those are working sets. And the fields themselves are working sets. The cotton field, the corn field, the wheat field, they all have dolly tracks like built into them so that you don't have to crush somebody's real fields when you're shooting your film, right? And the whole part is, you know, depending on when your movie is, you would be shooting at different stages of growing. Like some people want the fields when they're fallow. Some people want it when it's, you know, when the cotton is high for that slave scene. Some people want, you know, the corn field, you know, for the spooky thing. They want it in fall when it's all coming down. You know, who knows what it is, but we would have it there. But as those crops are going through their natural process, they will also be processed naturally. So the corn will all be ground down and make cornmeal, and then we'll teach people how to cook. Our craft services will all be organic food from the very same farm.
Farm to table right there. Right. Farm to set.
Farm to table right there.
Farm to set.
Right. And then the same thing with costumes. I would love our costume shop to be, you know, restoring old costumes and specializing in that kind of stuff and upcycling things. I would love our set guys to be upcycling old sets and old wood and all of those crafts so that they're real carpenters. They really have these amazing crafts, but they also can build for theater. They can build for film. You know what I mean? And training this, right? We're training the next generation because these are also your life skills. My passion project is, you know, climate change and food insecurity. Yeah. I am frightened. I am worried. I am concerned that y'all will be seeing Hunger Games as more than a movie. And that if you do not have the ability to grow food, that you may not be able to get any. And so I really encourage all of you out there to please learn to grow tomato something. Understand how to ask Mother Earth for the things that she was designed to give you. She is designed to give you shelter and food and the things that you need, but you have to know how to ask. It's a relationship that we have, and we've abandoned this relationship in the scariest, kind of ugliest way, and I it worries me. And so I encourage young people, please get your life skills together. Know how to build a fire.
Seriously.
Know how to find some water.
Get off Instagram.
No, seriously.
Stop scrolling.
I mean, scrolling is cool and tech is cool, but really think about it. In 1,000 years, somebody's going to be digging up these iPads and stuff, talking about, what they do with this? Whatever. No. But those people will still be eating food. Mm-hmm. They will still be living in shelters, and they will still be wearing clothes, and they will still be doing the essential things that one must do in order for this species to survive. And that means that somebody somewhere has figured out how to grow food.
Hello.
And if you're smart, that somebody will be you. Because freedom ain't free, people.
Hey.
Yeah.
Let me just say, I love this episode. This is the ultimate survival jobs episode.
That's how to survive. Concept of what you guys are doing, because this is what I teach. That is what the Pro Skills Workshop is about. It's about understanding how to survive while you're building this career as an artist, right?
Yes. And I'm being repetitive from themes we've talked about already, but that is what a lot of artists can never grasp, not because they're not like smart, but because it's overwhelming and challenging and tough. And just going back to saying, like, why are you doing regional theater? There's this pressure on young artists, I think, to get that big job and get that big credit and have those pictures and be on the Step and Repeat and have that check and have a name. And it's like,
you know,
that's
Kevin
not
Hart,
everything. Yes.
You know Kevin Hart, right?
Yeah.
Kevin Hart famously says, everybody wants to be famous, but nobody wants to do the work. And that's what you're talking about. Everybody wants to be famous. They want the fame thing. But no, that takes work. That does not just happen. And even when you get there, it takes work to maintain it. It's not like this, you know, add water and start thing. And this is part of what the whole, you know, instant gratification touch life is fostering. It's like, oh, it should just happen. It's like, no, 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 darling. You have to actually put in some effort for that. Really. You have to, like, you know, get up and do something. Go figure.
Yeah.
That's why I just despise the whole concept of smart houses.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I think that's the dumbest thing in the world. I really don't want a computer running anything for me, let alone my house.
Scary.
Because we know how computers behave, and when they behave, I don't want my house behaving. I don't want my house behaving. I don't want to have to update it. I don't want to deal with any of that. But more importantly, talk about Hunger Games. Y'all remember that movie WALL-E?
No. WALL-E, the Disney movie, right? With the robot?
I don't know.
It's a sweet little robot love story, but behind it is the most terrifying prophecy that made my heart stop. When I saw it, I was like, oh my God, we're doing that. We're doing that. And so, no, I don't want to be a blob that cannot move on some sort of hover pad. He's got to talk to somebody who's right next to me through a screen because I can't move. You follow what I'm saying? No, get up and sweep your floor while you still can. Get up. And somebody who's been on Broadway for years and who has done 8 shows a week for years and whose body has been damaged can tell you the value of mobility.
Yeah.
Never take your mobility for granted.
Yep.
Walk while you can. Move while you can. Enjoy the motion of your body. That's why I love growing food too. Talk about, you know.
Because you're out there. You're out using your hands, using your body.
I told you I just buried my mom at 101. God love her.
Yeah.
But I asked myself, how is it she's living to 100, living all through COVID? Her brothers all made it to 90-something. Everybody old, nice and old, you know, all that stuff. And nice I'm burying my friends at 50. I'm like, what is this? And I realized it's the food. It was the way they were raised. They grew up in a non-automated life. They grew their own food. Yeah. They worked outside. They walked. Their bodies were built on stronger stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? On better food and just stronger. And I'm like, I want that.
Mm-hmm.
I want that.
Yeah, I feel
that. When I went for my COVID shot, and they had you fill out the form, right? And the part with the meds, and I'm not on any meds. And they looked at me like, you're not on any meds? I'm like, is that a good
thing? Hello. Right?
They were shocked.
No, they were shocked. Shocked. Yeah. And I'm like, why are you shocked? That shouldn't be. That's not good. I was like, something's wrong here. Something's wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. No, you're right. You're right. I mean, I have a lot of people in my family who are like in the same way. Like, you know, my brother-in-law, we have like a little garden in our house over here. He's like always growing. Yeah, right.
And, you know, I mean, the benefit, not only just of the fresh food, but the actual benefit you get from growing it, from being out there, from the air and the dirt, the minerals that you're getting just from the herbs that we grow. You think about the oils that are actually going into your skin just by working with them. It's amazing. Yeah. I'm like, wow, okay, this is, just awesome.
Oh my
god,
you're
gosh. Amazing.
Yeah, it's it's so wonderful to chat with you, and I mean, we could chat for you. I can chat with you for like a day, but I don't want to take all your time.
No, we have we're all
we gotta go.
Time. The clock, baby. Show business, remember? Show business.
Exactly. But I do have one more question for you, if that's okay.
Ask
before the really quick fun game.
The game.
Yes. We talked a lot. Yeah, we talked about feeding ourselves, right? Nourishing ourselves. But what's feeding you creatively right now? Like any books or movies?
Oh,
a good play, anything like that that's been, you know, feeding your soul?
Okay. Yes, Jason.
Well, I'm saying there's just so many ways for that to happen. A lot of what feeds me is my students. They are amazing.
Oh,
yes. We write a show together every year and they are incredible. So last year we did Plagues and Prejudice. They wanted to write about current events. Incredible.
Oh my gosh. So
we write
timely.
These jukebox jukebox musicals every year. So, and we're doing the emo concert coming up in winter. So that's like hilarious. I don't have as much time to watch like I used to. I have a huge watch list of stuff that I'm, you know, trying to catch up on. Yeah. But the things that I'm enjoying, and because my head, and this year has been really hard for me. So because my head and everything is just, sometimes I just have to watch silliness, but I am a news junkie.
Oh yeah.
And so I watch that. And one of the things I'm working on, I'm actually back to that script. I'm working on an adaptation of a very popular musical into screenplay.
Yeah.
I'm finishing my album of the COVID. I did the protest album. Everything just made me so mad, and I was home, and I'm always telling my students, I'm like, look, you got a recording studio in your pocket, use it. So I was like, let me do it. Let me make an album. So the protest album, One People, One Planet, that's three songs I released. If, you know, lots of death in the family, I told you and all that. So that stopped the album, but it's not over. It's just, we got to pick back up. The climate change song will be next.
Take it off the shelf.
Right. It's not really even on the shelf. It's just, I couldn't, you know, I had to get my logistics back. So the album is underway. That one screenplay is underway. The book that accompanies the workshop is finished and now needs to be laid out. I don't necessarily need outside stimulus because I have one of those heads. I don't know if it's a blessing or a curse, but it's just constantly coming. And what I'm trying to formulate now is my Trump movie, because, you know, they're all coming. There's going to be so many, and it's, how do you do it? We laugh all the time. Even Michael Cohen, he was like, if anybody had tried to pitch this before it happened, we would have gotten laughed out of the room. Like, what are y'all smoking?
That's seriously.
Yeah.
And now that it has all happened, or, you know, we're still kind of waiting for it to finish. And I told you, I claim Letitia James in one of the movies. But Viola, you need to get on the Letitia James biopic. Because doesn't she sound like Viola?
She does.
Oh my
gosh,
your voice. It's just like, okay, I actually need to call her and be like, you need to get on that biopic. But in one of the other movies where Letitia is a tertiary character, I claim that. That's me. So
yes. Claim it.
I'm sorry, what led me there? Told you, just... it all comes all but, no, but how to which way I want to go with mine. I think I know. Most of my films have a titch of the autobiographical to them because my family's story is insanely awesome. Just insanely from we trace ourselves all the way back to Massa. We know who Massa was. Wow. We got census from slave to free and the whole nine. And grandpa risking death to teach and just, you know, the whole bit. So yeah, we're one of those great African American stories, blah blah blah. And so all drips of that filters throughout all of my films. It just does because it has to, because it's awesome.
It's art. It's you. It's your story. Yeah.
Right. What you know. So yeah.
Exactly.
That and like politics. So I tend to take those two things and smush them together and make fun films. I'm hoping to get Riverboat Exploit made. That's the Riverboat Exploit is it's a comedy about voter suppression and the Klan set in 1876.
Wow, that's heavy.
It's a comedy. She's like, it's a comedy, actually.
No,
but
it
it's important,
it
though.
Yeah.
Straight up comedy. Mm. Yeah.
Wow, I'm having a crazy moment, like, seeing you at 8 in Times Square being like, wow, this is where I come to, like, now, all these amazing projects and your amazing career. And I'm so grateful that you came and shared space with us today. So thank you.
I told you I love what you're doing. I love the whole idea of it. And I love that you created it yourselves. You know what I mean? Like I said, that fits
in
with the whole ethic of everything I'm always talking about. And so it's great. Two thumbs up.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. And I hope our listeners sign up. But it's Survival 20, right?
Survival 20 is the code. Mm-hmm. And proskillsforactors.com.
Yes, it's necessary. I feel like everyone needs to take it. Like, it's so important to know.
I mean, this episode was a class. Yeah. I mean, you gave us a lot of wisdom on this episode, but there's more people.
Highlights of this, just, it's, that's why I had to do it in 4 weeks. It's like, how do you explain 30 years of trial and error in an hour. You know what I mean? And yeah. Listen, I'll tell you, there's so much.
I'm a huge Mariska Hargitay fan, as everyone who listens knows. And she says, the education of an artist never ends.
No,
so
never.
Sign up, keep on learning, keep on getting the wisdom. That's it.
I would take that to the next level, Mariska. The education of a human never ends. The day you stop learning.
Mic drop.
But I'm serious. The day you stop learning, that's it. Hang it up. Because why?
Yeah.
Because why?
It's true.
Exactly. It's so true. Well, like we told you, we love to end with a game because we sometimes get very deep and we get very inspirational. So we like to just bring it back to like light and fun and laughs. So we're playing a game with you today, a quick Broadway word association game. So we'll say a word and then you'll say the first thing that comes to mind, whatever it is.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Do you have your game pants on?
Yes. These days you gotta wonder if people got pants on at all.
I know. Right.
It's so true.
Actually. Jay, you wanna take the first?
I'll take the first one. Okay. New York City.
Center of the universe.
Ah, I knew that. Rent.
Jonathan.
Rafiki.
Dream role.
Broadway.
Home.
The Color Purple.
Enriching.
Viola Davis.
Fantastic. Diva.
Dramaturge.
Bob Stewart. Also, a great playwright that everybody should know, Bob Stewart. I call him Tennessee O'Neill, or yes. What's the other one? It's Tennessee Williams. So he's and Eugene O'Neill. So Eugene Williams or Tennessee O'Neill. He's that.
Yes.
Okay. Sorry. He's that. Bob Stewart, John Turk. Okay, going
on. Obie Awards.
I have one.
Yes.
I want to find them. Anyway,
I think so.
And last one was August Wilson.
Wish I'd met him. Yeah. What do you say about August Wilson? Legacy, I guess.
Legacy, yeah.
Exactly.
Oh, this was everything I dreamed it would be.
And more. I'll say it again. More. It was the ultimate survival jobs episode.
Yeah.
In every way.
Yay.
So thank you so much.
My pleasure. Keep in touch, guys. Let me know what's going on. Tag it.
We will. Yes, we will. And before we go, can you let our listeners know if they're not already following you, how to keep up with you?
At Missy Frediot, BigSpoonProductions.com, www.proskillsforactors.com. And that should cover it. You can also Google a diva. Google a diva.
Google a diva. I love it. Google a diva.
You're also on LinkedIn. I was like doing all my research. I saw you on LinkedIn too.
Oh, well, we talk about this, Hondi. I have two TikTok accounts that I don't know how to access. But the point is, when we do, I have to figure that out. But when we do the branding section, I talk about it being everywhere because you don't know who's looking for you. You do not want to make it hard for them to find you. And don't have your dog as your profile pic.
Yes, and if y'all are tuning in because you're a Freddie fan, as you should be, and you don't follow us at Survival Jobs Pod on Instagram and Twitter, on Facebook at Survival Jobs a Podcast. Let us know your thoughts. Shoot us an email at survivaljobspod@gmail.com. Thank you, Freddie. Thank you, Jason. Thank you, survivors.
Happy
this is
birthday.
Iconic. Happy birthday to you, too. Thank you.
I love this. I love the Libra energy. Libras and Aquariuses are really...
And Jason's an Aquarius.
I figured that out.
And they're soulmates. So here we all are. A bunch of soulmates in a room. Thank you.
Thank
you.
The
virtual room.
Yeah. Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org. Because only together we rise.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.